Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Samach Vav. And we're holding 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the top of the Omid, where the Gemara says, Elo Marava, Gezeira Mishum Takolo. What is Rava referring to? Rava is referring to the brice that we had back on Samach Hei Omid Aleph, where the Gemara said that if you have a Parvisor Shiyim Hakipurim, the par v'soyer that you bring on Yom Kippur, she'ovdu that got lost, v'yifreshachinim tachteyan, and we brought brand new par v'soyer for this year. And guess what happened? Baruch Hashem, the old guys, they came back to roost. We now have the par v'soyer, which are... I'm sorry?
I said, don't look at me when you say old guy.
Okay. No. I was looking at you because of the symbol of purity and of atonement these parvisors that they can effect.
I forgive you once.
Fine. Anyway, so the parvisor has now reappeared on the scene. So it says in the Braisa, Kul on your musu, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that they have to go to Misa. Why do they have to go to Misa? Why can't you use them for the next Yom Kippur a year later? So the Gemara said yesterday a number of reasons of potential gezeirois, and each time the Gemara said that just doesn't sound right. The final teretz that we gave before the Tekola was, well, how can you even talk about it? These are all chatoi she'av reshinosa. By the time a year has passed, now these animals have aged and it's already too late. And the Gemara says it could go according to Rebbe. The Rebbe holds that you could still bring it even a year later, because although in terms of the lunar year, it's one full year later, but Rebbe says you go after the solar year, and so therefore you still have a day or two or three. So why can't you leave it for the next year? Why is there a din that it goes lemisim? And we concluded yesterday, Elo Marova, the reason is gezeira mishum takola. The problem is that there's going to be a potential takola if you hold on to the parvis soyer for a full year. Tisanya, where do we know that there is such an inyan of a takola? Ein makdishin, v'ein marichin, v'ein machrimin bizman hazeh. Nowadays, a person should not be makdish, ma'arich, or machrim. We know what makdish means, that you go and take any item. You take your pen, you take your table, your watch, your chair, and your makdish and say, I give this to the bedek habayis. Don't do that today, because unfortunately there is no bedek habayis today. Vein marichim, don't go and say erech ploini alai, and then you'll have to look up in the parasha exactly what the erech is, depending on whether it's a male or a female and what age. Don't do that, because the monies go to the bedek habayis, to the Beis HaMikdash. Unfortunately, there's no Beis HaMikdash today. Vein machrimin, and don't go and say, I machrim this object. And when it comes to chayim, there's already a machloikis with a stam charam leverik abayis, or stam charamim are lekehanim. But kuli alma moed, if you say befeirish, I'm machrim leverik abayis, it goes to the berik abayis. So miyat Hashem, hopefully today, tomorrow, meheri yibana beis hamikdash, and then we'll be able to be makdish, ma'arich, and machrim. But until that time, don't do it, because you never know how chas v'sholem, how long it will take until the beis hamikdash is rebuilt. And that would be bolite takolah. What means bali de takala? We'll see in the Gemara in a minute what that takala is, but poshut means that if you are makdish an item, and you're waiting and waiting until the base of Midrash is rebuilt, and unfortunately it's not rebuilt in a timely fashion, then people might use that object and they're going to be moil behagdish. So Amitchim will continue discussing further. Now what happens if a person was not aware of this price? And the mhikdish, the herdich, the hechrim, he meant well, and he was makdish, he was marich, and he was marim. Machrim. And the Beis Medrash is still not here. What do we do? Says the Braisa, Behema Te'oker. We'll explain what that means in another two lines. Peiros, Ksus V'Kelem Yerkovu. If the item that you are Makdish or Marech or Machrim, can be Marech, Peiros, Ksus V'Kelem, but you can go and try to pay off with any one of those items. In other words, you pay in kind as opposed to paying in money, or just push it, you're Makdish or Machrim, Peiros, Ksus V'Kelem. What happens now? Yerkovu. Just wait until they go and rot. Of course, when it comes to Pedis, they rot more quickly, but Ksus V'Kelem also, over time, they can also go bad. Well, Mois, Uklei Matchus, Yoylech Hayyan Hano Liyam HaMelech. Mois is the type of thing that can last forever. Even nowadays, they find from time to time in excavations, old coins from Chvais, the times of David HaMelech, or whatever. And Klei Matchus, if you have a metal kli that can last for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. So to make sure that nobody comes l'idei takala, go and throw it into the Yama Melach and get rid of it. But we spoke about behema tiyoker. Ve'izahu ikur. What's the lashon of ikur? Ikur means no yil delus for now. But he makes him yil out. What the Gemara says in other places that you put it l'kipa. In other words, unfortunately, you're going to have a situation where the behemoth starves, and then it'll die on its own. Okay, so that's what you do in the case of Hiktish Herach Hachrim. So you see that the Chacham were concerned about potential takolas. Let's get back to our par v'soyer. What's the potential takola that might happen that you're waiting for the next Yom Kippur? Takola demai, what is the takola? E takola de hakrova, if you're going to say, maybe by accident, instead of waiting until next year, he might bring it prematurely. He might decide to go and bring the parvisor for oilois, for instance. And of course, these are not kabbanos oilo, these are kabbanos chatos. And that's the takola, that you're going to go and mix it up and use it for something else. If that's the case, we have all of those cases where we always say things go leroya, leraya, that go and yirat shiestayv, let the animal go and graze until it finally becomes a balmum, and then we'll go and be poided. Every time we have to be concerned about this potential issue, that the person after a while will forget what the story is with this animal. The animal has not gotten a balmum, it's been grazing now for 10 years and still hasn't gotten its mum. And in the interim, you might go and bring it for a carbon, when you're not supposed to, it's supposed to go for a year. So you see, I'm not concerned about that potential takar. Oh, if I have a par v'sor, I'm going to use the par to go and do, for instance, harisha, I'm going to do plowing in the field. Or giza means that if I have animals, I might come to go and shear the wool or the hair from their backs and use it. So that's the takala. So again, the same question for the kodai istami. Any animal that you say yirad shistayv, let's wait until it gets a mum. You have the identical concern. Maybe it's going to come with the gizavavit. Zokim ala oylam takala takra. No, the takala we're worried about over here is that you're going to prematurely bring the parvisoy for a carbon. Vahanach the labri akrava ninu loy torid bu. Hach the basakravi torid ba. See, Morris is an interesting swar. Normally when you have an animal which is liraya, that you're leaving for grazing, so you know that it's for grazing, and therefore presumably you put it in a separate corral somewhere or whatever, and you know these are not to be brought for kavanas, these are to go and wait and wait and wait until it gets a mum. Aha. However, the par v'soyer is in your mind the entire time. The reason why I'm setting it aside is for a carbon. One day a person is going to come to you and say, you know what are these two animals over there? They're for carbon, I'm going to bring it next Yom Kippur. What do you got to wait for Yom Kippur? It can be osli deita kola. You know what? Bring it today, I'll pay you a nice amount, we'll bring it for carbon oil, and we'll bring it in the base of English, etc. And the person, since he is focused so much on bringing for carbon, he might in fact bring it for a carbon prematurely, but an incorrect carbon. By a regular Leroy, I'm not afraid of that, because he knows in his mind, this is not carbon, this is prohibited for kabbanas, this is strictly for raya. But an animal that you've set aside for carbon, you might decide to bring early for carbon, for a premature carbon, so that's a takala, and therefore, says the Gemara, that's the reason why we say Yamusa, we shouldn't have this potential problem. Yes?
Why do we say usually we talk about taking the monies themselves and destroying them by
putting them. Yeah, that's what we did to change it here. So
He takes out the word.
He brings down.
Shibari, Shkoyek.
Yeah, I was worried
about that. No, I know.
It says.
To
the Rosh Ben and Judah Iswar Ministry, Yolich Liyamamela.
Okay. Shkoyek, we take out the Hanah.
Right.
No, we have no Hanah from that, okay.
No, we have great Hanah. We have a Hanah from the fact that Brother Shai looked it up and he gave us a beautiful pshat. Shkoya. Zokimar, you just finished saying that the Inyan of Takola is so strong that we say about the Par Besor that Yemusa. Zokimar, but Takola Atzwa Tanoi. You should know that this, in fact, is a Machlokes Tanoi. What's a Machlokes Tanoi? This Ani will then a Braisa, Tanya Chodo. One Braisa says, Pesach Shalei Korev Berishon. What happens if you have a Karm Pesach which was not brought on Er Pesach? Presumably, once again, that the Pesach Gemachta Plata, which means it ran away. You brought another Karban Pesach in the meantime. The old Karban Pesach comes back on the scene. What do you do with your old Karban Pesach? Shei Karban B'Sheni. You go and bring it on the second. In other words, on Pesach Sheni. You already brought a Karban Pesach. Says Rashi, you'll go and give it or sell it to someone who needs to bring a Karban Pesach, a person who couldn't bring it because he was Tameh, or B'derech Rechoika. But what happens if B'Sheni, the same animal, ran away on Sheni, or you didn't have a customer for Sheni? What do you do now? Do you call the Shana Ba'al? Leave it over for next year. And of course, this would have to go according to Rebbe, that even though it's a year later, you can still bring it next year because it's within the first year of the solar year. Netanyi, how can I have another price? It says, Lo Yikar, no, don't go and bring it. My The Tanakhama says, I'm not worried about Takala. I'll be careful. I'll put a sign up, I'll attach a red ribbon, whatever. I'm not worried. And the other man, Yama, says, no, I am worried. Isn't that the Machlokes? The Tumula, you have no right. Could be the Kuliyama Loichashin the Takala. Everybody holds you not worried about Takala. The machlokes is Rebbe Rabbanon. What's the machlokes Rebbe Rabbanon? That's the machlokes that we've been quoting a couple of times already this morning. That's the machlokes at the end of Samach Hey Omid Beis, where the Gemara said that we find Legabi the case of someone who sold a bayis bavote ore choyma, that the Torah says that if you're not poyde it, you don't exercise your right of redemption and repurchase within the first year. What happens? That remains la tzmisus, la koina oisele de roisav lo yeitze bayoivel. If you didn't go and redeem it within 1 year, you lose it. The question is, how do you define a year? Rabbi says you get a solar year of 365 days. Rabbi Rabbanan says you get your lunar year, whether it's a regular year of 354, 355, or whether it's a Nisabri, Nisabri, you sometimes will have an Ibiyor, so therefore you'll have 383 days, 384 days. Makes no difference. We go after the lunar year. So therefore, according to Rebbe, that you always go after the solar year, you could have a situation where you have an animal, where the animal was 8 days old when it came Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, you're bringing the animal. It made a plate. Why does it have to be 8 days old? Because Mir Meshmini Vahali Yerotz L'Karban Yishel Hashem. And now you go fast forward a year later, add 354 days, 355 days, and then you get to a situation where the animal is now 362 days old, 363 days old. But it's not 365 days old. So according to Rebbe, bring it. No problem. Same thing with the power. The power was exactly 3 years old, and you add one more year, minus a few days, minus 11 days, according to Rebbe, you can bring it. But not according to Rebbe. Oh, so that's the Machlokes. The Man Yoma that says, Yikarav L'Shana Ba, oh, that's Rebbe. The Man Yoma says, well, Yikarav, that's Rabbanan. Perfect.
So they argue what a year actually is, or is it that you should do it for a year?
We're arguing when the Torah says that you have to bring a Karban Pesach. And in our case, the Sawyer, the Yom Kippur, that you have to bring a Ben Shana means within its first year of existence. What happens? Can you bring it if you weren't able to bring the first Yom Kippur or the first Pesach? Can you bring it a year later? So normally you and I would go and say, of course you cannot. If you could bring it the first Pesach, by definition the next Pesach is going to be 1 year more. So whatever the age of the carbon was, the minimum age had to be 8 days. It's now going to be a year plus 8 days. And if you have to bring the carbon within a year, it's too late. It's beyond the year. Do you agree? Says Rabbi, oh, no. Because when it comes to the inyanim of year, we do not look after the lunar year, we look after the solar year. The solar year is 11 days longer than the lunar year, because the lunar year is typically 354. The solar year is typically 365.
3 days to spare.
If you have 11 days. And if the animal has to be 8 days old, so then you have 3 days to spare, exactly as you said. So therefore says Rebbe, if you have such a situation where the animal is only 8 days, 9 days, 10 days old, you can still squeeze it in for next year. According to Rabbanan, it's too late, because when you go from Pesach to Pesach, it's 1 year, we go after the lunar year. It's Bacha Beplukte Rebbe Rabbanan Kabifagi. But I have another braisa. The same thing applies to money, that I've set aside money for this year to bring a Karban Pesach, and we didn't use it Maybe the reason why you didn't give it, maybe Moisra Pesach, maybe she was for Shlomim, maybe it was the exact amount that you needed, but I couldn't find the money, so I took other money and I bought a new Karban Pesach with it. The point is, I got Mois Pesach and the leftover. What do I do with it? The first price says, leave it for next year. Second price says, don't leave it for next year. Obviously, over here, you cannot apply the svaris of Rebbe and the Rabbanan that it got outdated, that it's old age, it's already a senior citizen, and you can't bring this karm anymore, because we're talking about money, we're not talking about animals. So that svara doesn't apply. And lav shmamina muzlach zayin, that the machloek is between the two prizes, but takola pligi, having nothing to do with Rebbe Rabban, has to do with takola. Am I worried that throughout the year, I'm going to use these funds for another purpose? So Gemara, one man the yamah says yes, the other man the yamah says no. Shmamina, that that's in fact the machloek is between the two prizes. On to the next mission. Zok the mission. Baloi Eitzel Sar HaMishtaleach. We're returning now to the Avodas Yom Kippur. We finished with all the spritzing of the blood of the par and the sword, Lufnai V'Lufnim, and in front of the Paroiches, and on the Mizbeach, the seven times, and the four times, Shvicha Shirayim, we're done. And now what do you have to do? You go now to your Sar HaMishtaleach. The Sar HaMishtaleach has been waiting there patiently, Yomad Chai Lufnai Hashem L'chaper Olav, waiting until the kapara of the Sor LaHashem has been completed, and now the Kohen Gadol comes back to the Sor Mishtaleach. Sor Mishtaleach has been waiting there in the Azora, not far from the Shar Niknor. Bolo eats the Sor Mishtaleach, the Sor Mishtayod of Olav, he puts his two hands on, Umesvad, and he makes a vidui. This is the third vidui that he does that day. The first two were on his own private par, and now on the Sor HaMishtaleach. And the same type of vidui that we had before, this is what he would say, or instead the Bach changes the girsa to reverse it, so that it should be consistent with the previous Mishnayos, where we started off talking about the Ovin and Pesha before we got to the Chet, because the Chet is referring to the case of a Shogeg, and Ovu and Pashu. Ovu is amazing, and Pashu, of course, is a Merida. And we had the Gemara already before, Machloikis, what the Seder had varm, which one should go first, which should go last. Anyway, he said the Vidoy, the Fenecha, Amcha Beis Yisrael, Klal Yisrael unfortunately has sinned, Ono Hashem, and if Simi were here, we would say Ono Vashem, Kapen Ol Dechatoy, Vula Voinois, Vula Pshoim, Shechotu, Vishu Ovu, Vishu Pashu, Lefenecha, Amcha Beis Yisrael, Kakos Maturis Moshe, Atzachol, Leymar, Kivayoyim Mazeh, Yechaper Aleichem. Today we're going to go and bring that Sor HaMishtaleach for HaKapara, Letar Eschem, Mikoil Chatzoy Seichem, not only from Tumas, Mitzvah, Kedoshim, but for Shara Beis, Lefnei Hashem Tithoru. Very beautiful Lidoy, third time that day. When they heard the Shema Foyrash, she yoits me being Kohen Gadol, you Koyrim Mishtachlan, and Nufal Apanayim, the Yom Boroshen, Kavoy Malchusa, the Yoylam Boed. Now you'll note that this, of course, we have in our Machzorim on Yom Kippur, every time we do the Koyrim Mishtachlan. This is the first time that we've had this Lashon in the Mishnah, because in the previous Mishnayos, when we had about the first two Viduyim, it didn't say the Kahan of Yom. All it said was that all the people who were standing there, they were said, Baruch Shem Kavoyim Machusa Li'olam Vod. But we didn't have this length of a Kahan of Yom on them. And in fact, if you notice, there's an Aleph here before the word Vakihanim. That Aleph, of course, is the Hagoy Sakra. And he takes out these four or five lines to be consistent with the Lashon of the previous Mishnayos, that after the Kohen Gadol finished saying, Lefnei Hashem Titaru, that the whole everybody said, Baruch Hashem Kavod Machus Lo'olam Vod, and therefore he takes out the four or five lines in the middle. However, other Mepharshim say, you should insert these four or five lines into the earlier Mishnayos, not to take it out here, but to insert them there. And then that would be consistent, of course, with our Machzorim that we repeated several times. Well, yet other Mepharshim say that, even though it doesn't say it the earlier times, it says it virtually. What do you mean it says it virtually? Because we rely on this last time, that we don't have to repeat it each and every time three times, but rather we rely on the fact that at the end, whenever they heard the Shema Foyrish, they said Baruch Shem, they were Kodesh Mishtachlan. Same thing happened the first two times, the same thing there too, the kind of Omdo in Razara, they said the Baruch Shem. Have I ever said the word from the Tzela Meruv? Have I repeated that word?
No.
Okay, so then we're going to say it now. The Tzela Meruv asks two questions on this Gemara, on this Mishnah. It's the first question is, when they heard the Shema Mefoirish coming out of the Kohen Gadol's mouth, that's Shema Mefoirish means not like we say it Ado, but the whole Yud Kei Vav Kei. Some say it means even the name of 42 letters. The Shema Mefoirish, that's big, big, big time, big stuff. When you would hear something like that throughout the year, when you hear a real starker brocha, starker Shem's name, you would normally go and say Amen with great kavana. I could go and see, and if you've ever been in the Litvish yeshivas on Yom Neroim, you hear every single Kaddish, Amen! Amen! Yehei Shmei Rab, and you can hear the walls shake and the ceiling almost is also, yeah, Baruch Hashem. And by Hasidim, presumably, they would say, Umayin, when they are. Why would they go and say Baruch Hashem Kvayt Machsalabai? That's question number one. Number two, when do you say Baruch Hashem Kvayt? Usually whenever you make a bracha levatola, right? By accident, you said a bracha, oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm so stupid. I already made that bracha 2 minutes ago. Why am I saying it again? You say Baruch Hashem Kvayt Machsalabai. So you would say that on, you made a mistake. Not when someone is saying the Shema Mefoirish V'Kedusha V'Tahara. Why would you go and say Baruch Hashem? That's true. That's true. But this is b'derech halotah, not derech halotah, b'derech tzachas. B'derech tzachas means on a lighter note. Said the Tzein Maruv b'derech drush. He said, unfortunately, and he wasn't referring to people here in Arbis Medish or people on the Zoom. It was people in, you know, somewhere in the North Pole or something. That sometimes when they make a bracha, they go and say, "Bachta tov 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 tov. Everybody chil ura oda yoychezen. Everybody began to tremble. They all began to fear, and they said to themselves, "You know, that's the way you're supposed to say Hashem's name, Bekdusha v'Tahara. That's the way I should have done it throughout the year, every single day of the year. Every day when I made my brachas, they were all brachas levatala. They were brachas without any kavana, without any fervor, without any intensity. About all of those brachas, I'm saying now, Baruch Shem Kavayin Rabbeinu Shalom, forgive me for all the brachas that I said throughout the year without the proper kavana." That was Baruch Shem. Not on what the Kohen Gadol was saying, but on one's own brachas of the whole year. Anyway, returning to our Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, Masal Mishayim Melichai. Now, after the Kohen Gadol said his vidui, he handed over the reins of the son of Mishaleach to the person who's going to take it out now. What the Gemara refers to, what the Pasuk refers to, is the Ish Iti Hamid Bara. That's the person who's going to be molechit to the tzuk, to the cliff, where the Shor LaAzazel will have its fate, will meet its fate. Says the Mishnah, Hakul Shem Melichai. You're allowed to even take a czar. Anybody can go and be the Ish Iti. The Kahanim Gedoilim made a special rule, and they said, no, they said, we're going to leave this for the Kahanim. As we'll see in the Gemara, because after all, the Sura Mishtalech effects Kapara. So even though Minatoyri, you're allowed to go and use a czar for this Avoida, you're not doing the Kapara in the Beis HaMikdash, this is outside the Beis HaMikdash, so anybody can do it. But nevertheless, they made a rule that it should be done by the Kahanim. I remember that Ursula once took it. Ursula is not referring to the name of a lady, but the name of a man. Rashi says Ursula Shemo Ish. So Rabbi Yossi is saying is that either he disagreed, there was no such keva, no such rule, or he's saying even if there was a rule, you know, they weren't makbid because Minataira, you're allowed to use the Yisrael. So I remember Ursula the Yisrael, he was the one that was Maitach. Finally, says the Mishnah, the Kevish Asulai, they made a special ramp leading from the Beis Hamikdash to the Mokam Hatzuk. Why do they have to make such a special ramp? The Neha Bavliim, because of the Babylonians. Shemetalshin Besaroi, they would go and pull on the hair, for Oimamloi, and they would say to him, Tolvatei, Tolvatei, Schnell, go quicker, get out of here. Now, first of all, whose sayer were they being Tolesh? A machlokes mafarshim. Some say they were tolish the hair of the Ish Iti. Some say they were pulling on the hair of the Sar LaAzazel. But why were they saying Tol Vetzei, Tol Vetzei? So Rashi told us at the end, and Rashi is really quoting the Gemara at the end of today's daf. If you look at the last two lines of Rashi, V'oimun loy toil maher vetzei, v'al tisha avoneseinu etzleinu oid. This is the Day of Atonement. Unfortunately, we have so many averos. Shnell, get the averos out of here and let's atone for them. Let them not stick around for even one more moment. Let's get rid of them. So therefore, since they kept on pulling on the Sawyer or on the Ish Iti, they had to go and put up such a protective barrier, make a special ramp that nobody could get to, so that they wouldn't have to worry about that type of activity.
It's a
very good question. Mitch and the Gemara is going to address that at the very end of the daf. Okay. Mitch, I'm going to get
there. Hurry up
then. You're going to be pulling on my ear, I know. Yeah. Okay, here, all right. Let's go. Zotimar. We started off by saying that the Kohen Gadol said vidui, and in his vidui he referred to shechatu v'avu lefanecha amcha beis Yisrael. Now notice he didn't mention anything about b'nei harid am kadeshecha. By the second of the viduyim that the Kohen Gadol did on his own power, there he did insert the words b'nei harid am kadeshecha. Here he did not. And therefore says the Gemara, L'choyre mantana om Rabbi Yemid loy krib Yehuda. The krib Yehuda omer yeshlam kapar b'sara mishtaleach. What is the Gemara referring to? The Gemara is referring to a machloikis that we had not too long ago, back on Daf Samach Aleph, 5 days ago in the machloikis in the Gemara, between Rabbi Yehuda and I believe Rabbi Shimon. And that is, what effects the kapara, the gabi shar aveirois by the kohen? What was the machlekes? Kuli alma moida, that if you're talking about tumas mikdash v'kadoshav, the kohanim get their kapara through the par of the kohen gadol. Klal Yisrael gets their kapara through the soir l'Hashem, the soir that's brought lefnai v'lefnim. What about shar aveirois? Not tumas mikdash v'kadoshav. So Klal Yisrael gets its atonement for shar aveirois with the soir hamishtaleach. But how do the kohanim? Oh, that was a machlokes. Reb Shimon said the kohanim get their atonement for shar aveiros also from the par. But didn't the par take care of the tumas v'kadoshav? So Reb Shimon said the spritzing of the blood that was taken care of, the tumas v'kadoshav, the par b'fnim, the par that you brought inside, the hazor dam, that took care of tumas. However, the Gabi Shar Aveiros, that was the vidui on the part that took care of Shar Aveiros by the Kohen.
What is Shar?
The Shar Aveiros means the other Aveiros, other than Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshim. Tumas V'Kadoshim means the chait of bringing Tuma into the base of Mikdash by a person being Tomei and he walks into the base of Mikdash, especially if he's doing Avodah, but even if he's not doing Avodah, just walking in the Tuma, or eating Kodshim. The sacrifices, if you eat it when the person is tummy. So those are heavy duty isurim and heavy duty averis, and therefore for that we need special atonement. Now, normally throughout the year, a person who did something like that has to bring his own private carbon chatas. We're talking about a situation where he knew initially that he became tummy. However, at the time of Yom Kippur, he had already forgotten. You know, it's one of those things, and human error, and he couldn't remember that he was tummy at the time. So to be megid, to protect people from chas v'shalom being punished in the interim, therefore we bring these two kabbalas, the par on behalf of the kahanim, and the soyer on behalf of Klai Yisrael. And miyat Hashem, if and when he remembers that he was tummy and that he ate kodshim, or that he came to the base of English, he's going to eventually have to go and bring his own private karm chas. But that's that special aveir. But then there are shar aveirus, all the other aveirus. So kuli alma moida that Klal Yisrael gets their atonement through the Sarah Mishtalech. The question is, do the kohanim get their atonement through the Sarah Mishtalech? The question is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda holds, yes, kohanim get their atonement from shar aveirus, just like the rest of the rank and file of Klal Yisrael, through the Sarah Mishtalech. And if that's the case, why doesn't that Mishnah say that the Kohen Gadol, when he says his vidui, he's saying it on behalf of the Kohanim as well as the Shar Amcha Beis Yisrael? Why does it only say Amcha Beis Yisrael? It sounds like that our Mishnah holds like Reb Shimon, that in fact the kaporah for Shara Averos by Kehanim is effected by the vidui on the par for the Kehanim, and not for the Sar HaMishtah Layach. Abayama no Nishkaraya. I feel the same Rebbe Yirungo contributed too. After all, we didn't say Yisraelim. We spoke about Chatu Avu Parshal Lefanecha. Amcha Beis Yisrael. Amcha Beis Yisrael includes all Jews of all stripes and types, and therefore it includes Kehanim, Levim, Yisraelim. And we don't have to identify the Kehanim separately. They're part of Gan's Kaisra. Okay, so now we're handing over the reins of the Sar Mishtaleach to none other than the Ish Iti. Pasul Mishadich. Moidichai. Tana Rabbana. Ish, it says in the Pasuk, Ish Iti. Ish Lahakshir Es Hazar. Ish means any person, so therefore even a Zar, non-Kohen. Iti Shehem Mezuman, that he should be prepared. Now what does that mean? Now the word Ace, as you know, means time. We always say at the end of Vaidulacha, in the end of that first paragraph, Vaidulacha, before we get our Kail, Chol Eis u'b'chol Shom. Chol Eis means any time, any period. So now what is Ish Iti? Means he is a timely individual. In which sense? Look at the top Rashi, Shehim Mizuman. Muchon lekach me'esmar. We don't wait until Yom Kippur, the final moment, and start looking around. Can we find someone over here? We prepare ourselves in advance. The Kohen Gadol in advance chooses someone to be the Ish Iti, and he says, make sure that you are tohar. Go to the mikvah, be prepared, say Yehiratzayim, you're going to have a big job tomorrow, eat well on Erev Yom Kippur, because you're going to have a far distance to go with it, etc. You prepare yourself in advance. Iti, Vafilu B'Shabbos, since we're talking about B'chol Eis, any time, Eis, so even Shabbos Kodesh, the Inyan of the Shiluach, can even violate what normally would be the Halachas of Shabbos. In which respect? The Gemara is going to address that in a moment. Even if there's a situation of Tumah, we still have the Shiluach of the Sar Lazazel. And again, the Gemara is going to ask, what's the Shaykh Tumah over here? You're doing it outside the basement, you're not doing it inside the basement. What's going on? So, Timon, we start again. Ish, Lahakshir Sazazel, Tumor Pshita, for sure. What's the for sure? After all, if you look upon this, this is just a messenger's job. Anybody can be the messenger. You don't have to go and say a psat tefillah. It's the Kohen Gadol that says the vidui. The Ish Iti, I don't want to use the pejorative term, but he's the schlepper. He's the one that takes it. So anybody can do that. You don't need a Kohen for that. So Jemar Pshita. Jemar is saying a kabbalik sivu. You're making a big mistake. It says about the Sar Lazozo, Yomad Chai Lefnei Hashem Lechaper Olav. It affects kapara. So I would think, look, who affects kapara? The Kahanim. They're the ones that do the kapara every day of the year. And this is one of the forms of kapara, taking out the Sar Lazozo. So maybe you have to have Dafka Kohen Kamash Malon, that even a regular Zar. That's the Ish Afil Zar. Then it says, Iti Bafil B'Shabbos. Bring him on my health. So what are you talking about, the Gabi Shabbos? Om Rav Sheish is Loi Meshem Hoya Choyle Markivai Al Kseifai. What happens if, unfortunately, the Sawyer, which is standing there, Lazozel, all of a sudden develops some sort of weakness, and it doesn't want to go on its own? You gotta pick it up. It's a Shvach. What do? You already did the Hagrola. So Markivai Al Kseifai, you're gonna go and take it and carry it on your back. Now, are you allowed to go and carry on Shabbos? Of course not. And there was no Erev from the Beis Hamikdash all the way to the Tzuk, and therefore you'd be violating Hilchos Shabbos. And that's the reason why we're telling you, no problem, Iti. Rashi says, Iti is like it would say, B'moyadoi. Always use the word Moyadoi to tell you, Atilu B'Shabbos. So, here too, Iti, B'moyadoi, Moyad, you can go and bring it Atilu B'Shabbos, even though you have to carry. Pray to her, 1 second. Do I really need a pasuk to tell you that you're allowed to go and carry a live animal on Shabbos? The Chari Kamandali Kram Nosan. The Ram Nosan Omar Chai Noisi Etzasmai. Ram Nosan holds that famous rule of Chai Noisi Etzasmai. And therefore, since Chai Noisi Etzasmai, there is no Isser Hoitzo'a Min HaToyra, because the Chai is going on its own. That being the case, why, what's the only Isser? You're not allowed to go and carry a balchai. You're not allowed to carry your baby outside on Shabbos with no Erev, even though there's chai noisi atzasmai. The reason is because midrabbanim. it's also. Look at Minat Torah, it's mutter. Midrabanan, it's also. But if that's the case, I don't need a posik in the Torah to override the Midrabanan. Minat Torah, you're telling me that you're allowed to go and carry, according to Reb Nosson, this behemah. So what do I need a posik, the ish iti, to go and tell you afilu b'shabbos? Every more afilu tamer rabbanan. I can go according to Reb Nosson as well. The whole svar of Chaim Yosef's Asma is because the animal can go and carry itself. But if the animal is chola, then it becomes almost like an inanimate object that you have to go and carry it. It's not noisius atzmoy any longer. Oh, for that reason I have to have the posik to tell you afilu b'Shabbos, that you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos, not a problem. Omer Rafam, Rafam says, Zoisimer Zachoy have a raya from our Gemara that Erev v'hoitza l'Shabbos v'ein Erev v'hoitza l'yom ha-Kippurim. Rashi says that although the Gemara uses the word Erev, we're really not focusing on Erev over here, we're focusing on the din of Hoitza. The Zoi Semeres, from this I see that Hoitza only applies to Shabbos according to this man, the Yomar, and there's no din of Hoitza the Yom Kippur. What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara means is we know the halacha that Yom Kippur has the same din as Shabbos. That just like on Shabbos, if there's no Erev, you're not allowed to carry, so too on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to carry. However, Rafram says that our Mishnah, or not our Mishnah, this Braisa, that says, Itiv Afilu B'Shabbos holds that Yom Kippur is just like Yontif. Just like Yontif, you're allowed to go and carry, especially the Tzoyrech. This is a Tzoyrech, and you have to go and schlep the animal.
Tzor Ochul Nefesh.
Yeah.
And there's no Ochul Nefesh on Yom Kippur.
And therefore?
So the Heter of Ochul Nefesh is not there.
Exactly right. So if you hold that there's an Isser Haitzah on Yom Kippur, would you be allowed to go and carry this animal?
No.
So why does the Gemara say? I learned from Iti Bafilu B'Shabbos. Forget about Shabbos. What happens if Yom Kippur that year falls out on Tuesday morning? Certainly not Shabbos. Are you allowed to go and carry that day this sickly, the Sor HaMishtaleach, if it becomes sick? Answer is no. So what do I have to go and... But nevertheless... Our Gemara apparently holds that you would be able to go because it says Vafilu B'Shabbos that it's Doicha Shabbos, so it should be Doicha Yom Kippur. So why are we talking about Shabbos at all? We should be talking about Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday as well. That every one of those days, if you have this animal that became Neba Choyla, then Markiv Al Kseifoy. How are you allowed to go and carry? How are you allowed to go and shecht a korban on Shabbos? On every single Shabbos, you shech the korban, Tamid Shul Shachar, Tamid Shul Ben Aboyim. It's from my other. That's the zman you got to do it. So this is the zman you got to bring the Surah Mishaleach, and you'll go and carry it. So what's the rai? Why is the Gemara bringing Afilu B'Shabbos? Is the chasimin that this braisa holds that when it comes to Yom Kippur, there is no Isser Haitzah? It's like Sukkis and Pesach and Shmuas, you're allowed to go and carry. And if the animal is sickly, carry the animal, no problem. So why do we have this Afilu B'Shabbos? Because Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry the animal. Because Shabbos, there is an Isser Haitzah. And there is no benefit, it's sort of Eichel Nefesh or anything else, so you're not allowed to. So that's the Chiddush of the Braisa, the Iti Afilu B'Shabbos, that you're allowed to go and carry. But only this Chiddush for Shabbos. It's not a Chiddush for Yom Kippur, because Rafram says this Braisa holds that there is no Isser Haitzah for Yom Kippur. That's why I need a special drasha for Shabbos. So what is this coming to teach us? Oh, what happens if the ish iti, who was told the day before, make sure you're tohar, go to the mikveh, everything is great, overnight, unfortunately, he became tameh for whatever reason, and now he's tameh, is he allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash? Normally, chas v'shalom, you're not allowed to. Oh, iti v'afilu b'tumah. So k'day t'chamin, maybe we have to go and appoint somebody else and say, okay, you're disqualified, we'll get some. No. Even if he became tamei, mishalchoy, he still retains his title as the ish iti, and nichnas tamei lazor, he can go in, tamei t'kai, lazor, mishalchoy, schlep out the zozel, and take it to the tzuk, and finish off his job. So that's what the iti comes in, mechadish, afilu b'tumah.
Does he have a court? You already had the kapara,
yeah,
of the tumas mitzvah kedushah on the par.
Right.
This person now is tamei, he's entering the azara.
If the territory tells it, he's supposed to enter the azara. There's no chait. If a kohen goes and shechs the korban on Shabbos, he didn't do all the chait.
No, this tumas is a tamei.
Right.
He's a tamei kohen, entering in to get the ser mishtaleach.
Exactly.
Is he chayav a korban ol v'yored? You're saying no.
I would assume the answer is no, because the Torah is telling us that's what he's supposed to do. That's what he's supposed to do.
Is it mutter or is it nircha, as it were? Basically, it's the same idea. Is this tuma, as it were? He's entering into the azara tame.
You want to know whether it's tuma hutcha betzibah tuma chuyeh betzibah. That type of kavana.
I didn't
look up on the mafarshim, but my assumption is he doesn't have to do anything.
It's mutter.
Exactly. Mutter.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay. From here, Rabbi Isai, Sholas Rabbi Lezer, going down from most of the rest of the Omid, we're going to have a series of questions that are going to be posed to Rabbi Lezer, initially talking about Yom Kippur, and then going on to many other subjects. And we're going to notice that Rabbi Lezer doesn't answer the questions, and very often tries to change the subject to something else. And the behavior of Rabbi Lezer on the surface is somewhat strange. Somebody asks a shaila to the Rav, you either say the answer or you don't know, or I'll look it up, I'll get back to you. And instead, each time, he tries to avoid the question, and in fact, sometimes he does the Jewish thing, he answers the question with another question. And the Gemara is going to be perplexed why Rabbi Lezer acts this way. And the Gemara is going to finally say, at the end of this sugya, that the reason is because Rabbi Lezer had a very, very strong custom. Shaloi Omar Dovar Shloi Shoma Mipi Rabbi Li Oilam. Rabbi Lezer never wanted to say his own chidushim in halacha. Any psak halacha that he gave was based on something that he heard from his Rebbe. If he didn't hear from his Rebbe, you couldn't pull it out of him. He would say, I'm sorry, I can't answer that. That's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. Throughout the Gemara, however, because the answers are, quote-unquote, a little strange, the Marsha and many other Mepharshim tried to give some explanation as to why he said what he said. Because L'choyd Reb Lezer could have simply thrown up his hands and said, sorry, I didn't hear this from my Rebbe, and therefore I can't answer you. So we'll see what I mean as we go through the Gemara. Sholos Reb Lezer, Chola, what happens if, in fact, the Sor La'azazel gets weak, gets sickly? Oh, that thing that we spoke about before. Amalem Zer Blazer said, Yochel hu leharkiv ani ve'atem. This is not a question that you have to be concerned with, because typically the Sor was so strong that it could carry both of us on its back, so you don't have to worry about situations like this. Chol mishalchema. What happens if the mishalech, the ish iti, if he got sick? Maushi shalchem biyaracha. Should we get somebody else? Om lehem ehei b'sholem ani v'atem. What means ehei b'sholem ani v'atem? So Rashi says, why are you even asking this type of question? If you go down Rashi about 10 lines, why are you even asking this question? After all, neither you nor I require the sor la'azazel for ourselves. If you look at the Rashi, why are you even asking this question? Because after all, neither of us require the Sor HaMishtalech. Rashi doesn't say why neither of us require the Sor HaMishtalech. You could theoretically say that Reb Lezer says in Baruch Hashem, we don't have Shar Averos, but that sounds strange, because that would be very pompous.
Once you appointed it, and then that's enough. You don't have to be said if the... Once you appointed the Sor HaMishtalech,
yeah,
and then it died, or whatever it was just enough.
So with the Abed, you already had your kapar.
Agrola is the kapar. Right.
Very good, okay.
And also, Rabbi Lezer, I think, is one who says, other maybe Korban Hashem Tavli v'chol yom.
So, in that Rabbi Lezer kapar, Rabbi Lezer kapar, etc. But anyway, the Maisa, the Gemara is telling us that the Ehei B'Shalom and Ivatem, so possibly what the Gemara means to say is that unfortunately we are now living post-Beis HaMikdash, soon hopefully pre-Beis HaMikdash, so the way we are today, we don't need to come on to the Sor HaMishtalech, because we have to klap al chet thousands of times on Yom Kippur, together with a massive Klal Yisrael, not each individual thousands of times, but everybody together, to go and get that atonement. So, well, why even asking this question? Next question. What happens if you pushed the Sor HaMishtalech, he was not willing to go and meet his fate, and you pushed it down, and guess what happened? Miraculously, he's still around. He didn't die. Is there an Indian to go down and kill it? So Reb Lezer said, all the enemies of Hashem should all meet their destruction, all those that hate us, they should meet their destruction, their end. Again, he didn't address the question. What is in fact the halacha on these three items? The Chacham Maimrim. When they asked the Chacham the three halachas, they said, Chola Makiva, Chola, if the animal itself gets sickly, Makiva Ksefa. Because that was what we learned before, that Itiyah Filib Shabbos. Chola Mishalchoy, if the Mashalech got sick, the Ishiti, Shulchan Biyarachi, yeah, take somebody else. Doch Vilei Meis, Yerachar Bimisan. Halacha is it that you have to go down the cliff, go down to the bottom, or maybe from the top if you have large stones or whatever, but you have to finish it off. Make sure that the Sur Mishalech meets its fate. So those are the questions that, of course, related to our Gemara.
Is this like a type of skila that we're pushing him off and then stoning him with stones? It sounds like it's the same procedure for a skila.
I threw in that you can throw down the stones. The Gemara doesn't talk about throwing down stones. If you don't have any stones and you go down below and you can go and take a sayif and do it that way. There's no inyan of dafka through stones. In other words, you just have to finish it off. Shaul was Reb Lezer. Now they asked a bunch of other questions unrelated to our sugya. Ploini, what about that fellow Ploini? Mal Olam Haba, is he one of the Bnei Olam Haba? Amaleis Reb Lezer answered, Loi Shaltuni El Ploini. Why are you asking me about that Ploini? Why don't you ask me about another Ploini? Well, what's up is this Ploini, not the other Ploini. So again, doesn't seem to have much meaning. However, Rashi says another pshat, that the question that was posed is about Shloime HaMelech. He asked him, Is Shloime HaMelech a Ben Olam Haba? He answered him, don't ask me about Shloime HaMelech. Why don't you ask me about Avshalom, who was also a son of David HaMelech? Now what's the question about Shloime, and what's the question of Avshalom? Rashi doesn't go into any detail, and he leaves it for his Einichlich, for the Toisis, to go into detail. See, if you look at the Rashi over here, Rashi says, Ploini mal lo ilam haba. It's a few lines below where we are in the Gemara. It says, Rashi al odem echad shalo. They asked about a particular person, Adam Smith. What about him? Mamasa beinach. What do you think? Is he a ben ilam haba? The yish poisim are shloime ben David shalo. They asked about shloime melech. So he said, don't ask me about him. Ask me al ploini. Shemal avshalom shalto. Maybe ask me about avshalom. So, no details. So now if you go to the second Toisis from the top, and go to the middle of the Toisis, right after where it says, Daf Chof Aleph, you'll see the next line, it says, V'yesh Mepharshim, Sheshoaluhu al Shloima, V'yisfirom k'rabi Yonis, in the Omer Kala'im, Shloima Chata, Eini Alatay, whoever said that Shloima did a chait, he's making a big mistake. Shnema, V'yhoyu levovi sholim. What is all of that about? In the Pasuk it says that, as we know, Shlomo HaMelech married numerous wives, and one of the wives was Bas Paroi, and unfortunately she tried to go and be Matal Levovoi from Hashem towards Avodah Zarah. And the Lashon of the Pasuk suggests that in fact Shlomo HaMelech did sin, and he did err because of the influence of his wife. However, Rabbi Yonasan says, that is not correct. All the pasuk means to say is v'le'yaloa v'sholem k'levav David aviv hud loy hoya b'mechta nami loy yochot b'chasa shomi. He wasn't chote. He didn't get to the same level of his father's Yerushamayim and avodas Hashem, but he didn't sin either. So that's the question. They asked Reb Lezer about Shloime HaMelech. So Reb Lezer didn't want to paskin, so to speak, about Shloime. He says, why don't you ask me about Avshalom? Now, what's the story about Avshalom? So if you go now to the beginning of this Toisis, again, the fourth line from the top, Pirsha ben Hanano, Avshalom Sheba al Pelagshi Ovid. The Pasuk tells us that Avshalom lived with somebody Pelagshim. In English, it's called the concubines of his father. Mao. There's a question, what's the definition of pilakshim? If you hold pilakshim is beloy kiddushin, that means they were never married. If they're never married, even though Avshalom didn't do a nice thing that he was ba'al plakshi of it, however, he wasn't even the iser of Eishes Ish because it was beloy kiddushin. Or do you hold that there's no ksuva, but there is kiddushin? If there is kiddushin, there is an Eishes Ish, and he was choyt to be Eishes Ish. So therefore, don't ask me about Shloime, why don't you ask me about Avshalom? But of course, characteristically of Reb Lezer, he didn't answer an either question because he didn't hear from the rabbi, as the Gemara will say in another few lines. And the Gemara continues on. What's the next question? Maulahatzel Roya Kivsa Manari. Can a Roya, a shepherd, go and save a Kivsa, a lamb, from an Ari, from a lion? So Omalem, so he said to them, Why are you asking me about the kivsa? You should go and ask me about the roya. And in fact, they followed up. You're right. Don't ask about whether you're allowed to save the kivsa. Are you allowed to save the roya manari? And then Amalehem, why are you asking me about the roya? When did you ask me about the kivsa? So again, Reb Lezer tried to deflect the question. And again, the question is, what is this roya? What is this kivsa? What is this ari all about? And here, Rashi is silent and doesn't say any pshat. However, again, we have the benefit of the Tosis. And Tosis says that this is an allusion to the famous story, infamous story, the questionable story about David HaMelech and about Bathsheba and about Uriah HaChiti. We know that David saw Bathsheba, he desired her, and he eventually lived with her. The question is, was Bathsheba at that time a married lady or not? On the surface, she was, and therefore it sounds like a terrible chait on the part of David HaMelech. However, the Gemara elsewhere says, as everybody knows, that David HaMelech lo yichata. Why was there no chait? Because of the fact that Uriah had sent out a conditional get, and that conditional get was that if chas v'sholom I perish on the battlefield, then the get should be chal l'mafreya, and therefore the Bathsheba was technically a penuya at the time, so David HaMelech lived with her, he wasn't over in the Israel Shishish, so kol ha'oyme David chata eini elatoya. That's a famous Gemara. Fine. So that is the question that they asked. The reason why the Gemara refers to, so we're referring to Bathsheba as the kivsa. Exactly. David HaMelech is referred to as the Ari. Now what's the reason why the Gemara calls it a Kivsa? So our Gemara doesn't go into it. However, as Barry just pointed out, because right after that story, Nosan HaNavi comes to David HaMelech telling him with Bederach Moshel that there was a poor guy and then there was the rich guy, and the poor guy had Nebuch one Keves, one Kivsa, and then they had to go and give a doyrin to the Melech, so instead of taking it from the rich guy, they snatched it away from the poor guy. And when David HaMelech heard that, he said, oh wow, what these evil people to go and snatch away the Kivsa, what's going on? And then Nosan HaNavi said, that was the mashal. The nimshal is that you, David HaMelech, you snatched away Bathsheba from Uriah Chiti. Anyway, so that's why the Gemara uses this term of the kivsa. So the ma'al lahatfal kivsa manari. Can we find something redeeming about the ari, about David HaMelech, that in fact there was no chait with the mice of Bathsheba? So that's what the Tosis starts off with. You see the third Tosis, Malahatzel, Kalim Bathsheba, Miyah David, Misfil on the Omer of Yoinasin, Kalayus, Mechemes Beis David, Get Krisis, Kaisel, the Ishtai, the Uriah Kosim, Ket the Bathsheba, and therefore there was no issue of an Ashes issue. So then what did he answer? Why do you ask about the Kibsa, Malahatzel, Horoya, Miyah Rari? Why don't you talk about the Roya? Who's the Roya? Kalim Malahatzel, Uriah, Miyah David. The Roya that we're talking about is Uriah. Now, what is the Shaila? Because the Gemara said about Uriah, why was he deserving to be killed? What is the covered Talmud b'mokam arav? Says Tosis Pirish. This is not the Tosis, the Gemara says. In front of David HaMelech, Uriah Achiti referred to Yoyev ben Tzruya as Adoni, my master. You don't go and call anybody a master in front of the king, because the king, he's the ultimate master, except of course for the Rabbeinu Shalom Kaviyochel. And so therefore he said, Adoni Yoyev, is that considered to be a Moir B'malchus? You don't talk about a master if you're talking about in front of the king. So if you hold he was Moir B'malchus, then he deserved to die. If you hold he wasn't a Moir B'malchus, he didn't deserve to die. So that's the question, can you go and save the Roya, meaning Uriah Chiti, from the hands of the Hari, means from David HaMelech. And we get back to Imar. Can a mamzer yarshin? If a mamzer, his father passed away, he left over Yerusha, can the mamzer say, well, I'm also a yorish, even though he's a mamzer? Mal. So then Eliezer answered him, Rebbe Eliezer answered him, why are you asking about Ma'al Yirash? You should ask Ma'al Yavam. Even a better question, can he be the Yavam? If Chas v'Shalom, his brother passed away, leaving over Yavama, can he be Miyavam, the Yavama? The next question they asked, Ma'u lost it as Beisai. Bizman Azeh, is there an inyan of leaving over a Zeichel Chorban in your home? Many people, as you know, especially in Eretz Yisrael, when they build a new house or buy a new house, they make sure near the opening of the door, either facing them or top, or in different places, they make a zeichel chorm. Is there an Indian to go and do that zeichel chorm bizman hazeh, because of the chorm abayis? So he said to them, why are you asking me about losedis abayis? Go and ask mau losedis kivroi. Do you have to go and put sid around a person's kever? What's the Indian of sid around a person's kever? Because we're afraid that either kahanim, or those that are eating kodshim, if they by accident walk over a person's kever, then chas v'sholem, they're going to become tamei. But that doesn't apply today, because unfortunately there is no Indian of eating truma, and there's no Indian of eating kodshim, so maybe you don't have to go. And so they used to go and make a tziyun, as we should impose in Yecheskel, and therefore they put, what was it, tziyun, they put sid. Sid is white lime, and remember we had back in Shkolin, right, when it came order, they had to go and re-lime it, because unfortunately it all wore out, so they had to do it again. Anyway, the point is, do we have to do this bizman hazeh, since after all, we don't have, unfortunately, there's no truma, no kachim, etc. So you should have asked that question. Now, after all of these questions, the Gemara said, "Lo nashe fligin bedvarim." It's not because Reb Elazar is trying to be disrespectful and trying to get, just push them away. He would never go and repeat the Dvar Halacha. He would never say any psak unless he actually heard it with his own ears from his own Rebbe. Zokti Mara, we're going to add another similar story. Shola Isha Chachoma is Reb Elazar. A smart lady asked Reb Elazar, Me'ach Hashemasa Egel Shovin, Ne'ma'im Yisosin Shovin. Back in Parshas Kisisa, when we spoke about the Maisa of the Egel, we find over there that the Yidin that sinned with the eagle, there were three different types of Misa. What were the three different types of Misa? The Gemara at this point doesn't spell it out. The Gemara will spell it out a little bit in another few lines, but Rashi brings it here. If you look 10 lines before the wide lines down below, 10 lines before the wide lines, Shemasa eagle shop. Avoidoisov Shavo Yisli Isser. Everybody served the eagle in the same way. So why did they all get the same Misa? Shohoyu boy Sholish Mises. We find Mises Sayev, that we have by Vayav Moshe B'Shar HaMachna, Mila Hashem Eloi, and then the whole Sheva Levi came, and then the Levium, they were empowered, authorized to go and kill people, and they killed them Nebuch with the Sayev, with the sword. Simu Ish Charboy. So that was one. Then we have Mises Magev of Ego Hashem Esom, and many people passed away as a result of that plague. And finally, Mises Hadroiken. What's Mises Hadroiken? The Chesil Beiza Abnei Amayim from Minim Esachus Levi Dezara and Eskav Moshe Levoidkan Kesoitois Belatz Bois Beten. Having them drink the water that caused their belly to go and swell. The Hadroiken is a sickness that involves the intestinal system. Usually, it starts from the throat and then goes downwards. Here too they drank the water and it went through the throat and went downwards into their stomachs, and the stomachs began to swell just like the Gabi Asoit. Anyway, the point is we had three different types of Misa. So why didn't everybody serve the eagle the same way? So Reb Elazar answered in the following way, Amalah, similar to what we had before that he didn't want to answer. Ein chachma l'ish el bepelech. Basically, he pushed her aside and he said that women, you ask wonderful questions, but you really should focus on your own occupations. Exactly, sewing and weaving, and leave the Torah for the men folks. Okay. What's the reason why he answered in such a way? So some of the Farshim said because he was very careful about not teaching Torah to women, because the Gemara says, and therefore one shouldn't go and teach women Torah. Of course, nowadays the things are a little bit, if you will, they've relaxed these restrictions somewhat, basically based on like Eislas Vashem, if there's Ersefa, that type of thing, that they allow the women to learn a fair amount of Torah in the Beis Yaakovs, because of the problems that we had pre-war Europe, where you had many, many families where the men folk were very strong Yerei Shamayim, and the women unfortunately were falling away. So to get them back into Yerei Shamayim, we had the Sarish Nira and the Talmidos that Baruch Hashem were able to put a stop to that and bring wonderful Noshim and Klai.
The concept is that the Dima HaTorah should inspire Munir Shemai. Not intellectual exercise to be like...
That's true. That was the Kavanah at that time. Exactly right.
How are you translating the word Bepelech? Chochmei She'ele Bepelech. How are you
translating Pelech is the...
Spindle.
Oh,
thank you. Thank
exactly.
You.
Shkoyach. Talking more about Itma Rav Levi. Now, but what's the answer to the question? The answer to the question, why did in fact the people pass away in three different misois because of the Mas Egel? So now we're going to answer that question. Itma Rav Levi Chad Omer Ziveach V'Kiter, besides those that served the Egel by Ziveach V'Kiter, in other words, bringing Karbonos or being Maktik Torahs, incense, besides they got Nebuch the Misa of Saif. Gofath V'Nishek, those that embraced and kissed the Avodah Zarah, the Egel, the Misa. Samach Buvovoi, those who were just happy and they just attended the party and they were part of the Avodah Zarah parade, that they got Bahadrik. That was one pshat. V'chad Omar, Eidim Asra, if we had Eidim Asra, Saif. If the Eidim B'loy Asra, Misa. The Eidim B'loy Asra, Bahadrik. So, two different pshat and why three different types of Misas. Omar Yehuda, Shiftei Shalevi, the Omar Avodah Zarah. Shem Shalevi didn't do Avodah Zarah at all. Shenema b'yamin Moshe b'shar ha'machne. V'yoymer, he said, Mil Hashem Eloi. And then it says in the Pasuk, V'yeosfu Elov. Kol b'nei Levi, the entire Shevet of Levi, everybody came together to Moshe Benu, and they were unfortunately the ones that were now appointed to be the executioners, that they should go out and never go and kill those Jews that were serving Avodah Zarah. And they unfortunately followed the authorization and their direction. So what do we see from this pasuk? Since it says the Yosef Kol Bei Slavi, Kol Bnei Levi, it sounds like the entire Shevet. That's why Amr Yehuda Shiv Shalevi Over Chum. Nobody in the entire Shevet, zero, nobody did avoid his arm. Frank Timar Yosef Ravina Bekomel Hashmeitzer. He repeated the Shtikot Torah. Eis Vneira Papa Bar Abba L'Ravina. I doesn't it say in the Zoysa Bracha, as part of the brachas that Moshe Rabbeinu gave before he passed away, he was talking to the Bnei Levi, and he was extolling their virtues, and he said, so Rashi and Chumash, and the way our Gemara explains these psukim as well, is that they did not have any nepotism, they had no prejudice, they had no favoritism towards their own family members, and if Chas V'Shalom in their own family someone did Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom, they went and killed their own father and their own mother and their own brother and their own children, if Chas V'Shalom they did Avodah Zarah. So Frey Timara, why do you have to even mention those words? If you're telling me that the entire Shevet Levi didn't do Avodah Zarah, so then this is a theoretical possibility, but this no practical possibility. It's possible that they would go and kill their parents, their siblings, or their children, because none of them did Avodah Zarah. So what's pshat in the pasuk? Everything, Mara, it's all talking about a situation where it's from a maternal side, and therefore there was no paternal relationship, but there was a maternal relationship. So it says, Mara, what's the Oviv? That means Avi Imam Yisrael. We don't mean the father, we mean the grandfather. And this was the maternal grandfather, who therefore was a Yisrael and not a Koy. Achim, the same type of thing. I'm sorry?
Not a lady.
Not from the Mishpachas Bnei Levi. Correct. Not a Kohen or a Levi, not from the Shevet Levi. Thank you. When it said in the Pasuk, Achiv, that means Achiv Me'imoy Me'Yisrael. Once again, it was only a half-brother, not from the same father, from the same mother, and therefore has the status of Yisrael, and not a Levi, or from the Bnei Levi. When it says in the Pasuk, Bona Bnei Bitam Yisrael, means Einikloch. Once again, when Einikloch are through a daughter, they have the status of Yisrael. Mikevish also like, I'm glad that Brother Shai is still here, because Brother Shai wanted to know, why did we say the Bavlim in our Mishnah? Omer Rabbi Bachana, loy Bavlim hoy, they really weren't Bavlim, the people that said, Shnel, Shnel, get the sins out of here, get the Sarmish Lech, they weren't Bavlim. Alexandrium hoy, they came from Alexandria of Mitzrayim of Egypt. Unfortunately, at that time, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael had a sinner against the Bavli. It doesn't say why, but they were angry at the Bavliim. It could be they were angry at the Bavliim because they didn't come en masse up with Ezra and Nehemiah to Eretz Yisrael at the time of the second base of Egypt. Again, it doesn't say why, but they had a sin against the Bavliim, and therefore, any time they wanted to go and say about someone that they disliked, they would go, he's a Bavliim. I'm sure there are people that can conjure up names that people give, even though it's not appropriate, but it's the type of guy that you hate. In pre-war Europe, there were For instance, Hungarians, if they met someone that he didn't particularly like, they would say, Galiciana. Even though the person maybe was never in Galicia, but that's the expression that they said. They didn't mean chasshon with an enmity, they just meant it in a pejorative way. So here too, they saw someone say, he's from the Bavliyim. But he wasn't really a Bavliyim. Tanya, we have the same brought in this price of Yehuda Oyman, Le Bavliyim. They weren't really Bavliyim. Alexandriyim Hoyu. But they called them Bavliyim. Omri Rabbi Yossi, who was descended from Babel, apparently he himself came from Babel, he said, thank you so much, you make me feel so much better. Meaning that Baruch Hashem, they weren't Bavliyim, these were just Alexandrian, they called them Bavliyim. Because I'm a Babylonian, I would be devastated to hear that some of my relatives or some of my fellow Babylonians did these terrible things that they pulled on the hair. So Baruch Hashem, I feel much better. And it says Tol Vitzay, they would go and say Sawyer and Ish Iti Shnel, get out of here. Tana, in the Bryce it says in a Lashon of Aramaic, Mashohi Tzvira Dein V'choyvi Dora Sagin. It's basically the same as in Lashon HaKodesh, but we're saying in Aramaic. We learned in Bryce, Mashohi Tzvira Dein, where Tzvira is referring to the Sawyer. Why are you allowing this Sawyer to stick around? Mashohi, why is he waiting here? This Tzvira Dein, this particular Sawyer. The Choyvei Dora and the Choyveis of the Dora of this generation, Sagin, are so many. So Tov Vitzei, Shnel, get it out of here. And that's why they had to build a special Kevish, a special ram. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Zizag, Yemen Zag, Yizin.